tax.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I am Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. Going to start out the second hour where we talk really almost exclusively about hard money issues with a gentleman by the name of Jamie Strauss. I met Jamie on a field trip that I took where we were shooting video down in Chile and in Argentina. Very, very interesting guy. In 1986, he joined the family firm called Strauss Turnbull. Société Générale purchased Strauss Turnbull, and Jamie, however, still stayed there until 2000. He left to become a partner at a company called Hargrave Hale in 2000, where he set up an institutional sales and research desk, which specialized in mining. He sold this unit to BMO in 2007, at which point he became the director of BMO's London desk until June 2009. Then he kind of took a deep breath, traveled a bit, and set up a boutique mining finance firm in London called Strauss Partners. So Jamie certainly is well qualified to talk on all these issues. Jamie, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
Let's talk about a couple of issues that I haven't chatted about on the show for some time. I'd like to talk about both your views on the uranium sector and the diamond sector. Let's start out talking about uranium. I am interested in that primarily because our friend, colleague Bill Bonner in the Daily Reckoning yesterday spent a fair amount of time discussing uranium. The folks at Agora Publishing are very, very keen on uranium, primarily because of the supply-demand situation there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this week's seen a really important turnaround. We've seen Cameco doing a specific deal with the Chinese a couple weeks ago. And then we've seen reports out that the Chinese are beginning to stock uranium in far larger numbers than we've seen in the last few years. And, of course, we mustn't forget the Indian influence as well, which is beginning to ramp up with their new build. So after a two-year hiatus following the bubble which we saw, it looks as though we've probably seen the lows, and it looks as though we can see markedly higher numbers on the uranium price in the next year to 2 years.
You know, a subject that I would agree with you on that, by the way, a subject that I have not dealt with on this program for quite some time is an area of the resource sector that I was very involved in 10 or 11 years ago, and that's the diamond sector. I, at the time, was involved with a company called Mountain Province Mining. When I say involved, specifically what we did for the president of the company, Dr. Paul Shotsko, and his folks at that time, we registered Mountain Province with the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States, and then they went on to trade down here. Stock reached a high, actually, of somewhere between $8 and $10. Very, very interesting situation. I kind of fell away from the diamond sector just because I got very, very interested in precious metals as opposed to gemstones, specifically gold, silver, uranium obviously not being a precious metal, but I got very, very interested also in the uranium sector. But maybe I've overlooked something. You guys are real keen on diamonds right now. Tell me why.
Well, Al, that's a tremendous history because I've in fact just raised $11.5 million for Mountain Province. But let's just go back to the sectors. I got involved in uranium in 2003 when there was just 16 stocks to look at, and the uranium price was just $7. We ran it all the way up to 130, and then I went bearish just around about the time I arrived at BMO. And it was around about that time that it was becoming clearly quite obvious what was going on in the diamond market, talked about by some for some time. But the bottom line is supply and demand. We haven't had a significant and a worthwhile discovery since the mid-90s. Funny enough, Mountain Province's Gachikuri discovery was, to a large degree, the last discovery. And all the major mines throughout the world, whether that's Russia, Canada, or in Africa, are now maturing and either going underground or certainly reducing their production. So we have a serious supply issue with dropping production and a demand issue that is surprising most. You've seen Blue Nile and Tiffany have record first quarter, I think. Certainly at Blue Nile, you had record first quarter numbers, and that's being pushed out of Asia. But also the Americans are not reducing their input as much as people thought, or their demand as much as people thought. So you've got a stable situation in the States and Europe, and you've got a rapidly increasing demand from the new brides out in Shanghai and Beijing.
I am not surprised to see a significant rise in demand from, as you say, the new brides in the Far East. But, you know, given the economic status right now of both, you know, both Europe and the United States, is the increasing demand from the Far East overshadowing, which I would have to believe would be a decrease in demand in the other two parts of the world?
Well, I think that's really a tremendous question, because if you and I would just hazard people here, we've got to look at the numbers for a year in total. But if you go to the first quarter of this year, I understand that China actually bought more diamonds by carat weight than America for the first time ever. Now that is a huge, huge change. Now I'm sure that's not going to necessarily be the situation for a whole 12 months. China's really just starting on the diamond discovery platform. But if you look at the way diamonds are sold, and let's just, you know, bear us in mind in the size of this business, it's a $13 to $14 billion business at the rough level, and that grows to $60 billion at the retail level. They're sold obviously through shops, whether that's in India, China, the West, or anything. They're all sold in the same way, and every single shop needs to be stocked. So there's a huge increase in the number of shops popping up in India and China, and they're stocking these things. And if you go to the bigger stores in Hong Kong, the trade, I understand, is just outstanding at the moment.
That is really, really interesting. Now, most people, when they think of diamonds, they obviously don't. Well, I guess more and more people are starting to think of Northern Canada right now. But Mountain Province, as I recall, the company that you just raised a whack of money for, they've got a pretty significant situation up there. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is kind of a stockbroker's favorite sort of discovery. It's an old discovery back in the 1990s. The company, which owns 50% or 49% of the Gachikui pipe, which is located just to the east of Snap Lake in the Northwest Territories, is effectively still owned 45% by three gentlemen, Harry Dobson, Dermot Desmond, and Des Starkey. These guys have been involved since the 1990s. They're absolutely committed to it. There was quite a public disagreement, and I suspect that probably revolves around De Beers, which was bought in, which owns 51% of the company, as to which of the two projects De Beers had in Canada were they going to take forward. And they took Snap Lake forward under the acquisition of Windspear. These three gentlemen who own 45% of Mountain Province have been committed the whole way through. They've cleared up all the issues with regards to De Beers. De Beers are completely on side. There was a new agreement signed in June 2009. This is going to be the world's largest and richest development project in the world. Just put some numbers on the table. It's going to produce, probably from around 2013, 6 million carats a year, with a revenue per ton probably in the region of around $210 a ton, and costs are certainly going to be lower than people expect. I've got in my model about 70. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes in lower than that. I think the capex is going to be $650 million. So it doesn't take what long to work out that this mine, on a 100% basis, could produce on today's numbers, forget any diamond price escalation, an EBITDA in the range of around about $400 million.
Jamie, real quick, where can people get more information on this company? But they can simply do that by going to the website of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, and just which is www.sec.gov. But tell me right now, very quickly, we've got about 15 seconds left here, where does the stock trade and what's the price right now?
Stock trades at just under $3 on the Canadian exchange.
Uh-huh.
And there was a feasibility study which will be released at the end of August of this year.
Okay.
And market cap's about $200 million.
Interesting company. Hey, we're going to get Mr. Strauss back on the show in the future if we can twist his arm. He's a very, very interesting guy. His perspectives, based on his knowledge and his experience, etc., are fascinating. We're going to get him back. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are 3 for $30 and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Second segment of the second hour. We typically talk about resource issues because I think they're incredibly important for investors. Chatting right now with Richard Karn. Richard has been on the program very, very frequently of late. He is in Australia, engaged in a mining study. Richard and I were talking off the air earlier, and he felt that the news that came out of China last week, which I discussed also with John Kaiser on Kitco Audio this past week, specifically on Wednesday, July 14th. The situation is really, really interesting. China, as we mentioned on the Kitco Audio, came out and said that they would be limiting their exports of rare element materials, given the way that the demand is increasing for these particular assets. Boy, I'll tell you, Katie barred the door for some of the companies that are actually mining these assets from other parts of the world. Richard, thanks for joining me, first of all, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey, good to see you, Al.
Can you see me? You're a much better person than
sorry.
I am. You're just so much sharper than I am. gotta have a little humor sometime in life. Otherwise, it's not worth living, is it? Anyhow, I mean, what's your take on that? It strikes me that when the Chinese come out and say we're limiting exports of this really valuable commodity, that is good news for mining companies located in other parts of the world, huh?
Well, certainly it's a good thing for companies who are actually going to be able to produce the rare earth elements, but it's very important to keep in mind that it's one thing to find rare earth elements and another thing entirely to put together the flow sheet that's going to actually, present a saleable commodity to the market.
Oh, no question whatsoever. Yeah, no question whatsoever about that. It isn't something that you can do right around the corner. What's going on in Australia? Now, we talked about that a few months back. There are rare element exploration development companies in Australia, correct?
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few of them. But our take on things is between now and 2014, there'll only be four Western producers coming to market.
Mm-hmm.
One, of course, is Molycorp in California. The other, of course, is Linus, which is producing now. And the other two are Arafura and Alkane.
Mm-hmm.
Alkane is one of the first reports that we wrote up, and they contributed substantially to my education on the rare earth industry and what's involved with it by not only showing me through their cooperative venture with the ANSTO, the government facility outside of Sydney, but also I met with the Dubbo and looked at everything. It's just a fascinating, fascinating subject. But one of the things that the people, Ian Chalmers, the CEO of Alkane, did was put me in touch with a gentleman named Dudley Kingsnorth. And Dudley Kingsnorth is the Australian who's probably the world's foremost expert on rare earth elements. Very, very bright, very, very generous guy. And he has been saying for at least since 2008 that China was going to have no choice but to start restricting their exports far faster than anyone thought. And in an article in early 2009, he actually said that he saw it happening as soon as 2011 and 2012. Everybody else was saying, no, this stuff is everywhere. But Kingsnorth was saying, yeah, it's everywhere, but nobody has the flow sheet and the capabilities to bring it to market quickly. So what we're seeing now is a very significant run in these Australian producers. I think Linus is probably up 15 or 20% in the last couple of days. I haven't checked it yesterday.
You know, one thing I wanted to bring out is the fact that in chatting with John Kaiser last week, we were talking about a couple of other companies. When you say you're only looking until 2013, is it, for other companies
mm-hmm.
to, yeah, I have a question about that for a couple of reasons. One is I think the Quest Rare Metals could be very, very much closer to production than that, as could Rare Element Resources. Molycorp is an interesting situation. They just, they put out their, they value their Mountain Pass asset at $1.4 billion, and on their prospectus, they're raising somewhere in the neighborhood of $4.5 million, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, yeah, that could be a very, very interesting situation. But I think a couple of juniors, Quest and Rare Element, and possibly Lydian, could also join the universe of producers relatively quickly.
That's certainly possible. But the important thing to remember is that for the rare earth, one, rare earths are not rare, and two, it's about having a workable flow sheet that you can economically produce the metals.
Sure.
So one of the things that's going to happen is that the price of these 17 rare earth elements are going to go up dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that may make flow sheets that were not economically viable previously, that might make them viable now. However, it's important to remember that there is no generic flow sheet that's going to look for rare earth elements. Every single deposit has different characteristics which require very fine chemistry
Sure. To
separate out and bring them to market. It's a very, very complicated process. Very, very labor intensive in the sense of hours in the lab. So, you know, I'm sorry. Those are just the companies that we're very confident that are coming out by 2014. Although, of course, with the resource tax, which in Australia has now morphed into the mineral resource rent tax, which is still going to be questionable also, funding has been down here. And so, you know, companies like Alkane, which have a tremendous potential and are ready to rot, they're searching for funding at exactly the wrong time. So there's a lot of variables out there in the market, and funding is going to be a very critical one.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. I would have to say that, you know, I think there are some great companies really all over the world that are right on the verge of doing something. You know, you talk about Rare Element or Quest, for example, Rare Minerals. You know, you look at the management team of a company called Quest, and you've got Peter Cashin, who's the president. This guy's got a Master's of Science degree from McGill, you know, which is no small school. These guys really know what they're doing, as I'm sure the folks down in Australia do. You know, you've really hit my hot button when you talk about Rare Elements, though. Rare Element Resources is a company run by Donald Ranta. Don's a very, very bright guy. Those guys are also going just huckledy-buck, for lack of better terms, in this area. I think the companies you mentioned, I have no question that they're not, you know, that they're not going to really do well, but I don't think the universe is necessarily just consists of those two companies. Hey, I want to just say one thing, and that is, this is a remote that we're doing, and Richard is in Australia. So if it's a little difficult sometimes to hear the message, trust me, listen closely, because Richard's a bright guy and it's worth talking about. Got about a minute left here. How would you like to leave this, Richard?
Well, I think that the very important takeaway from the Chinese rare earth announcement, and I'm focused on, you're right, I'm absolutely focused on Australia because I'm down here and these are the companies I'm looking at, and I follow the other companies more vicariously, mostly through your program, as a matter of fact. But the important thing to take away from the Chinese announcement is, don't forget that China also controls or has a very significant say for
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second.
For fluor, spodumene, indium, magnesium, and tungsten.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very concerned, especially about tungsten and antimony.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting on the road again. The RSPT and the MRRT slowed us down a bit, but we'll be back on the road here shortly. And in the next 2 months, we're going to be looking at more rare earth companies, manganese, tungsten, rhenium, platinum group metals, zircon, titanium, scandium I'm very interested in, graphite, tantalum, lithium, uranium, tin, and molybdenum. We're going to be seeing all these companies in the next 2 months, and I'll be telling you all about them.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. Richard, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You're adding tremendously to this show, and I appreciate it. Listen, you guys, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness, and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from AirAndAqua.com. AirAndAqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, AirAndAqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Genesis.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Chatting right now with my friend James Turk. James is no stranger to our show. James wrote a book, The Coming Demise of the U.S. Dollar, which I think is very, very interesting. I'm looking at a copy of it right here in my studio. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I would suggest you call Amazon and pick it up. James also is the founder of GoldMoney.com. He is, in my opinion, the dean of the gold analyst. James, got a question for you. You just got back from living in Europe for the better part of a year with your family. You're back home right now in New England. I would like you to share, if you would, your views on what you saw in Europe vis-a-vis the currency, that currency situation over there, where it is today, and also a little bit about the European economy. And then let's go on and talk about metals after that. But let's start out with your impressions of Europe, okay?
Okay, I think there's been a real change, a tidal wave change in terms of the mentality in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first moved there last summer, even though there was a lot of monetary uncertainty generally, you know, and economic concerns, not just in Europe, but worldwide, I think the mentality was fairly, you know, positive and, you know, thinking that, you know, we were going to get out of this economic collapse that had occurred and financial collapse had occurred. But over the course of the year, I think the mentality really changed for the worse. And there were a number of events that I think have caused it. One has just been the ongoing economic problems, the ongoing increase in unemployment. But then the problems with the euro itself, I think, really changed you know, people's thinking over there. And the most fundamental change, of course, was when the ECB announced a couple months ago that they were going to be purchasing government debt and turning that into currency, you know, the so-called quantitative easing. And as a consequence, you've seen a huge demand for physical metal in Europe, which in my mind is basically unprecedented compared to anything we had seen before.
Okay, unprecedented from anything we've seen before. Now, the euro is strengthening vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar as we're recording. Comments on that? Is that strengthening going to continue, do you think?
It's interesting, Al, because at any moment in time, you know, one currency can be up and the other currency can be down.
Sure.
In a world of floating currencies that bob up and down relative to each other, they're all sinking relative to gold. So we're in an environment now where, you know, last year the euro was 150 to the dollar. It dropped all the way down to 118, and now we're back up to 127.5. So, you know, the euro is bouncing relative to the dollar. But the more important measure is that both the euro and the dollar have been dropping relative to gold, which, you know, still remains the standard, even though governments refuse to acknowledge that basic fact.
You know, James, it remains a standard, but let me throw this at you. You know, I'm looking at the chart right now, and the 30-day change is gold is down about 2%, 1.84 specifically, $22.70. Yet as we're recording, gold is up slightly on the day. It's up $3.20. You know, my impression of what's going on in the gold market right now and the silver market is that it simply is not going away. I mean, a lot of people have said, there is no way that gold is going to be able to maintain the highs, you know, and it's specifically at some fairly significant, very significant highs right now. But regardless of everything that's going on, it's not going away. You know, it'll go down a little bit one day over the weekend, and the end of last week it was down significantly, and it's popped right back up right now. Why do you think that's happening?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. You really shouldn't be looking at the price of gold. You should be looking at the value of gold. You know, the price of gold is a distortion because a dollar today is not what a dollar was in 1990 or in 1970 because the dollar is continually being eroded. The purchasing power is being lost. It's continuing to be debased. So a dollar is a changing unit of account, but an ounce of gold is still an ounce of gold. So forget about the price of gold. It's a question of whether gold is good value or not. And there are two aspects to that question. First of all, does gold still have usefulness? And the answer is yes, because it's the only money that's no one's liability. When you own an ounce of gold, you own a tangible asset. There's no counterparty risk. It's not dependent. The value in that ounce of gold, the wealth that's stored in there, is not dependent upon any government or any bank or anyone's promise. It's a tangible asset. It's not a financial asset.
Well,
and the second thing is relative value. You know, even though the price of gold is up, on a relative basis, using all of my models, and particularly the Fear Index, gold today at $1,200 is basically no more expensive than it was at $283 back in the mid-1980s.
That's a very, very good point. Now, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with a colleague of ours, John Kaiser, yesterday. John basically feels, for a lot of the reasons I'm hearing you talk about, that gold is a pretty good place to be right now, as is silver. James, before we talk about commodities specifically, though, any additional comments on basically what you saw in Europe? I'm really, really curious about that.
Yeah, you know, it's not really a double dip. It's really the same dip. The economy turned down almost 3 years ago now, and there have been little bounces along the way, but the economy is continuing to deteriorate. And that's true not only for Europe, but that's also true here in the U.S. We're still in the same bad position, the same bad economic conditions, you know, that started back in end of 2007, early 2008. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. You know, the most fundamental thing is employment. If employment is not rising, the economy cannot do well because, after all, the economy is everybody working and spending and interacting with one another. So if unemployment remains high and it's actually continuing to grow, the economy is going to remain weak. And I don't see employment improving for the foreseeable future, either in Europe or in the United States.
How bad do you think it's going to get?
I think it's going to get worse. You know, you can never forecast how bad it's going to get, but if governments continue to follow the same policy, it's going to get much worse because what they're trying to do is jumpstart the economy with more debt, and this debt is basically a dagger pointed at the heart of the euro and the U.S. dollar. And this gets back to my book, The Collapse of the Dollar. You know, the policies that governments are pursuing worldwide are harmful to the currency and therefore harmful to economic activity. And I don't see governments either in Washington or Berlin or London or anywhere, you know, moving away from these basic policies because it's considered to be mainstream economics. And unfortunately, this mainstream economic theory, which has driven government activity for several decades now, is built upon unsound principles. You cannot create debt forever. Ultimately, the currency is going to be destroyed by too much debt creation, and this is the road the U.S. government is on.
Short of collapse, short of meaningful hardship economically, and I have no problem with that, I have to say, because I think that's the only long-term cure. But short of that, what can the government do?
The government can go back to what the monetary system of the country was for 180 years, which is basically enshrined in the Constitution. Gold and silver is the basis of the monetary system. We've abandoned that in 1971 to go into a new direction. It's the direction that occurred in this country with the first currency, the Continental, which also collapsed. That's why the framers of the Constitution tied the currency into gold and silver. Moving away from that basic principle, we've moved away from the wisdom of the framers. We're now basically in the same situation they were with the Continental.
Interesting.
It's quite tragic, really.
Well, I think what's going on in the world is quite tragic. Got a minute left here, James. Do you see basically mainland China taking over in terms of, you know, being the major economic power here right around the corner?
Well, you know, I lived in Asia in the 1970s, and I had a very good Chinese friend tell me that this was just a few years after the Cultural Revolution, the riots in Hong Kong, et cetera. That in the 1990s, China was going to become a major capitalist country. And I just sort of shook my head and said, how could that be possible? And he would always say that the Chinese have capitalism in their blood. And what they do is they focus on education for their children. That's one of the most important things within the Chinese family. And, you know, that's sort of a basis for creating wealth. You know, wealth comes from knowledge. So I see China continuing to grow. It's not going to be a smooth road because of government intervention there, just like governments are intervening everywhere else in the world. But basically, there's going to be a lot of wealth created in Asia. We've already seen it, but I think it's going to continue. And as a consequence, I think China's going to emerge as one of the wealthiest countries in the world. It's not going to happen overnight, but they're definitely on the right road.
Okay, there you have it. Insights from James Turk. Big Al's going to be right back.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. I'm going to wrap up this show in this particular segment with a couple of buddies of mine, Marshall Barrell and Malcolm Gisson. Marshall and Malcolm are co-founders of the Encompass Fund. They're also co-portfolio managers of the Encompass Fund. I've known these guys for a long time. They are very, very insightful. They are very, very well-educated, and they have a good staff behind them that, along with themselves, you know, evaluates all the companies that they are invested in. This isn't going to be a commercial for the Encompass Fund, however. I want to talk about something else, and that is, you know, gold right now is holding up. It's holding up above $1,200 an ounce, okay, on the one hand. On the other hand, we're all invested. When I say we all, Malcolm, you and Marshall and I and a whole bunch of our colleagues are invested in resource companies. Our portfolios, I would have to say, I don't know about yours, but in my case, I'm probably up 50%, down 50%. A lot of people are saying, you know, now is not a good time to be buying stocks. Now is a good time to be buying the commodities themselves. I disagree, but I don't know. Maybe the market is showing that these other folks are right and I'm wrong. I like the leverage involved in publicly traded companies. A lot of different reasons that I like publicly traded companies as well, and in some cases even better than the metals themselves. I don't think we're in trouble at all right now. What do you guys think? Malcolm, why don't you start?
Oh, I like the companies for the same reason that you just stated, that it gives you a leveraged investment in the commodities. I think long-term, we're going to see higher prices. I think the demand for the commodities in China and India and Brazil in these developing countries will increase, and we'll see greater demand over the next several years. And mining is expensive. It's a very difficult profession. People take for granted when they see the quantities of metals that are produced every year that this is not difficult. It's very difficult. The easy metals have been found. And as you know, we find that companies are going to more dangerous, more exotic places all the time to find metals. This is certainly true with gold and silver, the precious metals, and it's true with the base metals also. So I like investing in junior mining companies, particularly companies that are relatively close to production and control a large some, a large quantity of the metal.
Marshall, elaborate, would you?
Well, I think that's the case, Al. And when you say people look at the stocks or they look at the metals and they say, well, gee, they're uncertain and they're not sure whether or what's going to happen in the future, that's generally always the case. And it tends to be some of the better times to be investing if it's in you, if it's in your mind to be invested. If you want to be in treasury bills or cash, that's a whole different thing. But if you want to be invested, in these uncertain times, that's the case. Gold, as you mentioned, is backed off a little. Let's say from a high of $1,260 an ounce to roughly $1,200 now. It's backed off a little, but it's consolidating, it's stabilizing, whatever term you want to use. And it appears to us to be an appropriate time to be initiating positions or adding to positions. As Malcolm says, and we would agree with you, we prefer, generally speaking, we prefer the companies that are involved in discovering and exploring for and producing the metals to the metal itself, because you have better leverage and the market responds more affirmatively to the companies than to the metal. But if you want to do the metals these days with ETFs, it's easy, far easier to do the metals. And with gold, there's also bars, coins, etc. But from the standpoint of, is this a reasonable time to invest for a longer-term outlook, we would say yes. Now, if you're talking about what the metals, any particular metal is going to do next week or next month, that's very difficult for us or anybody else to know, and that's not what we attempt to do when we're making investments for the Encompass Fund or for our clients. We're looking out 6, 12, 18 months.
You know, let's talk a little bit, kind of expand the conversation to include a lot of other issues. What do you guys take into consideration when you're looking to invest in companies, you know, as an example? Let's start out with a junior precious metals company, you know, a company that's in the exploration stage. What do you guys look at?
I think, Al, we begin by looking at management. We want to know that this is an experienced management team, that it's experienced in all respects. That means exploration. That means development. That means production. That means licensing, getting the mine into production. That means an ability to deal with local people. It means good financial people who can have access to lots of capital, so we do not have to worry that they'll run out of money. And so we're going to evaluate the management team and look for all of those people within that company. Next, we want to look at the resource. We want to know that there's a substantial resource and that there's potential to expand it. We want to evaluate how quickly the company can get into production, because, as you know, production means cash flow. And the market will reward companies that are close to production and certainly in production when they're realizing revenues. We want to know that the company is well financed. They either have the capital or have access to capital so that they will not run out of money and not be able to develop their project. So those are some of the factors. We also look at the jurisdiction. We want to know that it's a mine-friendly jurisdiction. We don't want to run into permitting problems. We don't want to run into concerns about the nationalization of the resource, and we want to know that it's a government that has experienced mining and is friendly and it's conducive to the success of the company. Marshall, do you want to add to that?
No, only to the extent that when you look at permitting issues, when you look at environmental issues, when you look at issues dealing or matters dealing with the local peoples, whether you call them First Nations people or whatever the term is, it's important that you put it in the context that these are issues, these are matters that are of importance to the companies and to the local peoples and to the governments today, and you're going to have issues, and what you want is a jurisdiction and a cooperative effort between the company and those local constituencies to move the project forward. Not that it's not going to take some time and there may be additional expense involved, but that it is doable. And that's what we look for when we're looking at a company as to how they're dealing with those issues. And certainly along with what Malcolm mentioned with regards to management, ability to finance, the type of project, where it's located, and matters of those natures.
How do you guys feel about investing in companies that are in the Far East? And I want to define the Far East as being China, Mongolia. Let's even expand it simplistically to include some of the companies in, that have properties in Eastern Europe. Level of company.
We are invested, and Compass Fund is invested in companies that are operating in China, that are operating in Mongolia, that want to operate or are looking at projects in Eastern Europe, and really around the world. We are not and would likely not be involved in any company involved in Venezuela and a few other countries, but it's in the context of what's going on, how does the government view mining and those matters, and looking globally, because as Malcolm said earlier, it's getting tougher and tougher, to find commodities in the ground, whether you're talking about gold or silver or coal or uranium or oil or gas or and anything else. And people are going to the far corners of the earth, and if you're going to be involved in mining, that's where you're going to be. And you just want to see what the factors are and assess them against other opportunities.
Yeah, we've all traveled to South America. We're all, I think, and when I say we all, you and I and the two of you and myself have traveled to South America on numerous occasions, and I have to tell you, you know, I'm very, very comfortable down there. I'm very, very comfortable in North America. Pretty comfortable still in Mexico. I really am, and we're invested in companies that are located in Mexico, and it's nice to hear you guys say that, you know, China and Mongolia is not something you want to cross off your list just because it is so far away. Hey, listen, I want to thank you guys very much. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in this week on the Cornell Economics Report. Genesis is a great network. We've got some great stations here, great some programs on some of these stations. Pleasure to be on it. Big Al's going to be back next week.
The Cornell Economics Report is produced for A.B. Cornell and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Cornell, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Cornell Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue, at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.